Jono by David Maloof, read by Christopher Pittman. He was the class madcap. I see him, a smallish boy with bulging blue eyes, mooning at us through the doors of the new building veranda, while Soapy Allen, our science master, dictates the uses of isinglass. Jono had been put outside, and after whistling up and down for a bit with his fists in his pockets or watching under cupped hands the golfers on the far-off links, he has come back to make faces through the door, exerting what Soapy calls his malign influence. The glass of the door is striped with sticking plaster from the war, and Jono, his nose flattened against the pane, his eyes rolling, gives a good imitation of a fish in a tank, his mouth rounded, inaudibly gagging, and immediately afterwards of a baboon from the garden's menagerie. Soapy pretends not to notice, but he is, in fact, as much under Jono's powerful spell as any one of us. He is a big, chalky man with a passion for dangerous experiments. "No, no," he insists, "no magnesium flares today, no pandering to this weakness for sensation." But in the pocket of his tweed jacket there is always a good-sized roll of something inflammable, and before the lesson is over the room will be fizzing and flashing while he shakes his head and makes little depreciating clicks out of the corner of his mouth. "This isn't science," he murmurs delightedly. "It's the royal show. All you boys are interested in is sensation." He plays the same elaborate game with Jono, never addressing him in anything but a high-flown rhetoric that gives all dealings between them the air of a scene of the theatre. The scene ends inevitably with Jono's exile to the veranda, and Soapy watches out the corner of his eye while the notes on helium or copper sulphide flow steadily, full stops, commas and all, from his whitish-grey lips. Jono was off stage but never quite absent, and occasionally, by long-established precedent, he makes a comeback like Banquo's ghost, mouthing eerily through the glass till Soapy opens the door a crack and he makes a formal protest. "I'm as innocent as a milk-white lamb," he'll say, rolling his blue eyes so that rest of us have to double up in our desks, and Soapy briefly allowing him a place in his fourth-form chemistry course. "Then go you forth, little lamb, and separate yourself from these my goats, a comma, in a weak solution of hydrochloric acid, full stop." But Soapy always relents at the last moment and calls him back for the fireworks. Still, innocence is something Jono cannot claim, not seriously. In class he is an endless source of wisecracks delivered in a fierce stage whisper and of noises he can produce at will from every part of his anatomy, stentorian belches and burps, farting sounds from the armpit, or real farts, either wheezily protracted or released in a staccato series, short, sharp punctuations of a sleepy afternoon. Gangling at the blackboard, he makes half-witted attempts to solve geometry problems that leave even the master confused. Asked to construe a sentence out of Noctes Latinae, he sighs, scratches his head, shuffles from foot to foot, and suddenly discovers the most improbable and suggestive translation. Out of class, with the help of a boy whose father is a bookmaker, he runs the school's most profitable SP racket, with half a dozen bullies to beat sixpences out of those who can't pay, and at cadet camp organises sessions in the showers at which he wins over £3 by being able to come faster and further and more often than any other boy in his platoon.